The scripture, just for reference, and we encourage you, you know, to look it up. The ones that I read, of course, the ones we read, but the ones that are made reference, if you, you know, have an opportunity in your time in the next week, you know, look them up. That'll be good. And also, I want to remind you that the membership application, I think you all have that. Pastor Ben says, if you can get them filled out even this week and bring them next week and give them to Mark Rathke, it'll help expedite things. So we want to remind you that you can, if you can get that done sometime, and bring it next week for the week four. Mark Rathke will be teaching, and you can give them to him. Okay, last week the membership class dealt with the values that drive our church. This week we're going to talk about the mission that we're on and how we're actively engaged in that mission together. Missio Dei, it's God's mission. Missio Dei is a Latin Christian term that is translated the mission of God. Ultimately, God is a God of mission or movement. When he sent his son to earth, Jesus, he was here for a mission. In fact, Jesus had a pretty clear mission statement found in Luke 4:18. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Have you ever heard the phrase, "He's a man on a mission"? Well, Jesus was certainly a man on a mission when he came into this world. And when you read through the Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll certainly find Christ on a mission. He was on a mission to rescue us from sin and death and to bring us into the kingdom of his light. His mission was motivated by love. He was directed by his heavenly Father to do what he saw the Father doing and speak what he heard the Father speaking. He was on a mission of reconciliation. Galatians 5:4 says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons." And then Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Jesus Christ, through his life and his commission to his followers, exemplifies what it is to be missional. He left heaven to invade earth with the message that God loves this world and he wants to reconcile us to him. He not only spoke the message of the kingdom of God, but he demonstrated in his character dependence on the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. Missional is a term tossed around quite a bit in the church culture these days, and it's nothing new in meaning. However, it's different in some church philosophy. It is a term of intentionality, focus, and clarity for the cause of Christ. It's the difference in thinking that the church is not here to become bigger and better, which unfortunately church culture can sometimes embrace, but to reach into the mess of the world in our backyard, into our region, into our country, into the ends of the earth to give the hope and love of Christ. That doesn't sound a whole lot different than what we believe here. The question is then, how can we be more intentional, strategic, and activated in doing this through our local church body as we partner with the greater church body? Author Alan Hirsch, in a book he wrote, says he believes the word missional goes to the very heart and nature and purpose of the church itself. Okay, you know what? I hate just reading, but I was told just to read instead, so I don't miss anything else. So, were the other guys reading? Okay, that's good. Okay, because I can wander off the script. Okay, we believe here at Freedom Church that we are not just here to get our needs and desires fulfilled, but we are here because Jesus has called us to his mission. And when the church is on a mission, we are the true church. We certainly value relationships. We certainly value teamwork and all the other values we talked about last week. But we have been commissioned by the King of Kings to engage in his mission, which is the reason for our local body as well as the whole body of Christ at large. Jesus puts it this way to his followers. Matthew 28:18, he said, "And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus once stated that loving God with your entire being and loving our neighbor as ourselves were two of the greatest commandments and represented the sum total of what life is supposed to be about. The people here at Freedom believe in these two divine mandates and endeavor to live by them. They are the motivation behind our mission, if you will. We endeavor to love God by obeying his commandment to go, and we endeavor to love others by extending and exemplifying the gospel. Our mission here as a church, this is actually our mission statement, is to reach the lost, disciple the found, and see lives set free and stay free in Jesus. That's our mission statement, to reach the lost, disciple the found, and see lives set free and stay free in Jesus. So ultimately, we want to see lives changed in Christ. And because of that, we are committed to helping people come to know Jesus Christ personally and to grow in their relationship with him. Am I going too fast for everybody?
No, great pace.
Great pace?
Great pace.
We are committed to training and equipping men and women to do the work of the ministry. Using our resources in order to expand God's kingdom through the spreading of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we first started these membership classes, I didn't have what the words that were filled out in your book, so I was just blown right through in every book. Come on, they're scrambling. It got pretty chaotic, and then I realized what was going on. So that's why I asked that. Okay. As was mentioned in our first membership class, the word church simply means a called-out assembly. If we are here to spread the gospel of Christ, how would this called-out assembly do just that? Well, let's take a look at the early church and their response to the gospel. And of course, that'll be in Acts 2:42. And it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs are being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing them to the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So after the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached his first sermon under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and resulted in 3,000 people being saved. This marked the launching of the early church. The verses we just read from the book of Acts give five principles the early church embraced and strengthened and mobilized God's called out assembly for its mission of spreading the gospel of the kingdom. At Freedom, we endeavor to apply these principles to our lives in order to fulfill that very same mission. The principles are, number one, worship. It says they continued steadfastly in the breaking of the bread, prayers, and praising God. Worship is a lifestyle where we honor God through prayer, praise, and adoration, and by giving our lives in a way that brings glory to Christ. Number two, second principle, fellowship. They continued in fellowship. All who believed were together. They ate together. Fellowship brings us to respond to the issues of life by lovingly supporting and encouraging each other. The third principle, outreach. The Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Outreach helps us to fulfill our mission by reaching friends, family, and neighbors throughout the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fourth principle is discipleship. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and teaching. Discipleship is helping individuals grow up in the Lord through the study of God's word and its application to their daily lives. Number five, and the fifth principle is service. All who believed sold their possessions and goods and divided them among them as anyone had need. Service is using our gifts, our talents, and our resources to glorify God by meeting the needs of others. If you turn a couple pages, you'll see the ministries and missions that we're a part of. One page over, it has our in-house ministries. You know, then ladies and men's and life groups, coffee bar worship, and then of course our outreach ministries. They're all local. And then you go on the next page. The foreign ministries that we support, national ministries, and then local ministries. And these are all areas that you might have a call or you might have a heart for. I love doing the membership classes because Scripture tells us that we've all been given a gift or gifts, and there's one translation says for the benefit of the church. So anytime we have new members come in here, we know that God has placed them here because they have a gift or gifts that's going to benefit this church. Very often we'll see people come in and visit and we never see them again. I believe it's because their gift wasn't needed here, because Scripture is clear that your gifts are to benefit the church, the local church, the local body here. So the pastors have put together a program called Motion, and I don't know if you may have heard of it. It's an excellent program. It's a three-week, four-part program, and it's to help you find where you may fit in. And you'll get more information on that. I don't know when the next Motion class is starting up, but that helps you to find your giftings and what you may be interested in. Certainly, they'll talk about all those ministries that are on that page there. If anybody's got any questions, just speak up. Okay. Freedom Church's distinguishing characteristics. It's not distinguishing characters, it's distinguishing characteristics. That's not too funny. We are an evangelical congregation. We believe in the need to be converted, that lives have to be changed. We believe in actively preaching the gospel. We believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, and that we should live our lives according to its guidance. We believe that Christ's sacrifice was essential, and that on the cross he did all that was necessary for our salvation. Next one, we are a charismatic congregation. And we talk about Pentecostal and full gospel. Pentecostal simply means it's pertaining to the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in the upper room. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all those things that had followed. And then the full gospel full gospel is basically that too. Just that the words that we read in the New Testament are for today also, not just for then, but for today, and they're just as important today. So, okay, first bullet point after that, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As on the day of Pentecost. We believe that this is a separate experience from initial salvation. We believe that the gifts of the Spirit and the fivefold ministry are for today. We believe in tongues and prophecy are for today. And we believe in laying hands on the sick. The fivefold ministry, if you're not familiar, is comes from Ephesians 4:10, where it says some will be called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's the fivefold ministry. We are a non-denominational congregation. We are not part of a larger denomination. Our local church body is an independent church with inherent rights to sovereignty in the conduct of its own affairs, led by an eldership team with the headship of the lead pastor. Am I going too fast? A lot of words writing down.
Just a little.
I am?
Just a little. I'm doing okay. She's trying to copy.
Yeah, you didn't. Did
she's trying to copy because she forgot her book.
Oh, I'm going to have to write that down, Marlene. I'm going to have to write down you came unprepared. I don't know if there's any extra book. I don't know if there's extra books.
No,
are you okay?
We're fine.
Okay, Marlene. We do not believe that a local church has no need for other churches or the greater body of Christ. In fact, we endeavor to partner with like-minded churches in our region and beyond. We are in relationship with Elam Fellowship. Our lead pastor is credentialed through Elam and also the Lockport Evangelical Ministries Association, LEMA. Elam Fellowship is a Christ-centered worldwide revival fellowship committed to the strengthening leaders so that the church will be equipped to reach the world. Is anybody familiar with Elam Fellowship? Yeah.
The line there, is that supposed to have fellowship on it, or?
Yes, I probably wrote it out too much.
Or another word, for right before lead pastor. Is fellowship the word?
We are in relationship with Elam Fellowship.
Elam Fellowship, yeah.
All online.
That looks like that's it. Is that it on your notes?
Yeah.
Well, how come I'm so quick? And
you're breathing fast.
The first person did a lot of talking at the beginning, explaining his